Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio none other than Nate Wallace, who's been out and about already this morning in town. Welcome,
thanks.
Mr. Wallace.
Good to be here again.
Yes, he's of course the city manager, and he has many, you know, being a city manager in a small place like this, relatively small, as compared to maybe, Anchorage or something. If you were a manager there with an elected mayor, it gets bureaucratic. But here it's not that way. Is that not true?
We've got our bureaucracy and our politics, but nowhere near that Anchorage would have.
Right. Okay. Well, I have to start out with obvious, to me at least, because I have now seen that not only were there yellow marks on the grass and ribbons and all, but there's actually ground that has been ground up for the extension of the bike path on the east side of the Palmer Depot. When's that going to be done?
Well, we have broke ground. The timeline for that is probably another couple of weeks. But the piece the city's working on right now is getting the base laid. So as folks drive by, you've probably seen about a 18 to 24 inch, 8 foot wide ditch being dug behind the depot.
Right.
And then being backfilled with gravel. And actually the gravel's coming from the wastewater treatment plant from the big dig out there. So we're recycling.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So it's given us an opportunity to cut costs on this project and get it done partially ourselves. And then it'll be paved. We'll have a contractor come in and pave it because we don't have those capabilities.
To the uneducated eye, I would say someone who's not perhaps in the business of putting in bike paths, it would seem like, this is a short distance. It's only, maybe 15 yards or 20 yards long. It's not great distance. This should be easy to do. But obviously, there are a lot of considerations. One, it's on railroad property, isn't it? Or is it on city property?
I believe that is still railroad property. 100 feet from center line is typically railroad. So we have that area leased. Anything we put in there is supposed to be temporary, although the depot is not temporary. That's a fixture that's going to be there for a good long time. So that's one of the pieces along with that. I mean, the trail that's already there, the Shane Woods Trail, that's on railroad property as
sure.
well. So there's an understanding that if the railroad comes back, that we'll have to, if we want to keep that trail, and if it's safe enough with the distance, we'll have to put up a fence to separate it from the railroad. But
That would be complicated in the center of literally town.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's, and it's just one more step trying to connect the grand plan for that was to go all the way, the Shane Woods Trail was to go out to the railroad. So little steps at a time.
Okay. But,
yeah, the details of that one little 15-yard project, 120 cubic yards of rough gravel, another 40 cubic yards of D1, the fabric that goes in there. So this is not just a slap it down and we can walk on it. It's going to be a permanent fixture, much like the rest of the Shane Woods Trail. So.
And I've been impressed with the rest of the trail in terms of its survivability.
Yes.
In other words, it's been down now for a few years.
Quite a few years.
And it's not cracking up and heaving and all the rest of it's still pretty good.
Yep. And when you take it down that far and compact it and put the right base in, they'll last a good long time.
Oh, very good. Okay. So then let's step back and say, okay, this one's happening. It'll obviously be done before the snow falls.
Yes.
But then you've pointed out that this is one aspect of a much broader trails plan that's in process.
Yes, I mean, there's a master plan for parks and trails. There's another master plan for the urban revitalization, which was the Shane Woods Trail, and then there's other trails that have popped up that are as a concept that support connecting other trails that we have. So it's just a small part, again, trying to make connections between all the trails that are out there so that folks, when they come to Palmer, they can have a visual, you know, I can go from A to B and not have to jump over something. So the other one that we're looking at is in conjunction with the airport construction that's ongoing over, which is in the Rimple area. That safety zone has been cleared. Again, we have quite a bit of gravel at the wastewater treatment plant that won't be put back in the hole once it's filled in. So we're looking to do something out there as well to connect Cope Industrial to Golconda.
Right.
Well, that won't be necessarily as detailed as this one. That may be just we put gravel down on the social trail for a year until we can fund a fully paved trail.
And that's kind of an interesting, because it's in a neighborhood that I walk about, and I noticed that along that fence, the west side fence of the airport over to Cope Industrial, that pathway gets a fair amount of activity.
It does.
And even though during the summer, it's pretty easy, but then transition zones such as spring and then into winter, it's another story. So is there a plan to do more with that in terms of making it a more, less rutted and puddled trail?
Yeah, and that's the one I was talking about, a Rempel in the airport. It is a social trail, and we were out there looking at it. There's some gravel in it. It's relatively hard packed, but again, as you mentioned, it's not maintained. It's just something that's kind of occurred over time as people walk. When you pound on the ground, the rocks come up. And the more you walk on the rocks, they kind of start to look like a trail. So we looked at the way it flows now, and we'll try to smooth it out and put more gravel down. Now, whether we go to the extent that we're doing here, probably not likely, just for the cost and how much more gravel would take. And it wouldn't be a year-round trail to be maintained either. That's the other piece. The trail we're doing by the depot will be maintained year-round, much like the Shane Woods Trail.
Okay.
If we do the one by the airport, it won't be something we can maintain in the winter. It's just not feasible based on the type of terrain it is. But we are trying to make it so that in the spring, your baby stroller doesn't get stuck in a rut.
Right. Okay, and that whole 5-acre field to the west of the airport that has been cleared of brush and trees and dug a bit, and there are piles of dirt on it, et cetera. By the end of summer, as we get into fall, is that expected to be sort of flat and covered with earth and seeded?
Yes. It's a temporary holding area. The first piece was to clear the safety zone of the tall trees, and part of that was also to clear any ground brush that would potentially grow up to be interfering.
Okay.
So that we can maintain it much easier in the future. We've looked at possibly turning it into a hay field of some sort, much like the other airport grass areas that are maintained by a hay lease. But it doesn't look feasible at this point, the way it's been grubbed and cleared out. So at this point, we'll cut mower over it once it's said and done in a more easier fashion than we have in the past, to at least keep the cottonwoods and anything else from growing. And then there's a citizens group that's working on a design to present to the Parks Board and the council on here's what we the citizens would like to see. And then if it's feasible, we can look at potentially in the future doing something as a green space. But we have to keep in mind that's airport property. Also, it's city property, but it's part of the airport. So it does fall under FAA rules of flight patterns and safety zones and all that. So the big thing is that most of that area is in the safety zone and is not supposed to have congregations of people. We had the FAA was out for a visit with some engineers, and we pointed that out, and they said, we support green space, we support trails and such around parks, but in that particular area, no benches, no trash cans, nothing that would gather more than one or two people at a time passing through, that they wouldn't stop there in case there is an incident with takeoff or landing, that they're in an unsafe area. So that's what's driving a lot of what can go there.
And there have been a lot of people who've been noticing, it's hard not to notice, the huge trucks coming in and out and around the airport itself, moving what appears to be vast quantities of gravel and dirt and
yes.
So on, et cetera. That, even though it's a very busy time, and are we now in the period where the airport is closed? Because it's going to be closed for a little while, I noticed.
The main runway has been closed since late July, and it was scheduled to be closed for 30 days. I think it was the 21st, and we're on track to reopen the main runway, 1634, by August 21st, maybe a little sooner. It looks like they're staying on schedule. 927, the east-west runway is still open.
Okay.
Part of it's been shortened or will be shortened when they do the cross intersection. And then at some point, it will be closed for about a week. The entire airport may be closed for an entire week, depending on where we are with progress.
Okay.
Forest Service, we would work closely then on when to do the timing of this. Their main season is past, so that's when we started the work. There's some fires in the area, but most of their, well, they're not flying out of here at this point. They're flying out of other places. So
okay.
Made sure that we kept the.
And this has been very much better fire season, as I understand, in the state of Alaska. There have been some fires, but nowhere near the big time efforts.
No, I think this is the second year in a row we've been fortunate in that sense, not to have the big, again, fires, but not the fires in the populated areas or areas that put people or structure at risk.
Okay.
So I think in that sense, yes, it's been a pretty good year. 2 years in a row, I think.
Okay. So we've got that big construction project, and we've had some reporting on the progress on the sewer system.
It's going well. The floor has been poured. They're working on the walls, pouring the walls. There's a lot of concrete rebar out there. If anybody wants to take a visit, had some video on our Facebook page for those that are interested in following those things. So it's again, on schedule. We expect to have water put in it in early spring.
Oh.
And test the flows and see how it works.
Oh, very good. Okay. So then we come back to, I was over at the post office recently, and I noticed that the building next to the post office,
apartment complex,
formerly known as the Fred Meyer store, still remains ghostly unoccupied. Any thoughts, hints, whatever?
Lots of thoughts, but no, we haven't heard anything from Fred Meyer's. I understand that their corporate management was in town a week or two ago. But looking at the new store, I'm sure they ventured over there to see the property. But no, we've heard
nothing
on that.
Okay. On the other hand, I also noticed, having had gone down the Glen Highway, come along there, and I was reminded once again as I looked at the boarded up buildings along the highway, the Glen Highway, starting about the gravel pits, coming on in where apparently the new highway will take those buildings out and leave some others there. And when can we expect to have actually dirt moved on those?
My understanding is next spring, and they're going to start in Palmer.
Oh, that's right.
That expansion project, I don't know that it goes all the way to Fishhook. It may, but they're going to start on this end, and it will affect Palmer initially.
Okay.
I don't know if that's good or bad where they start here. I think it's a good thing. The bad piece is we'll have a month or two of construction right down the middle of town.
Sure.
But to get it out of the way, get that part done, that the Palmer piece looking good, I think is a good thing for the city.
Okay.
They're working on the Palmer-Wasilla Highway now, and they'll bring that down to, I think it comes to the Roland Memorial Drive. That project will terminate there, I believe, and then mm-hmm. the Glen Highway expansion picks up from there, and that whole intersection, to include Evergreen down to where City Hall is.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're going to be in the midst of this construction for two years, probably.
Okay. Well, I have to go back to Tuesday, a late night for many people, because the Borough Assembly had a meeting, and you were there.
Yes, I was.
And you spoke, and you listened, and all the rest, and the main topic that is covered at some length had to do with the potential for having a sales tax, which, as many people know, was ultimately set aside, but with instruction to the borough administration to work with the cities, having the manager work with presumably the manager of the city of Palmer and other places, as well as school district, to craft something that perhaps would be more representative of what people could live with, if I can put it that way. I think that was the sense that came out of there. Have you had any meetings with the manager yet?
No, not yet. And it's not that we hadn't had meetings before. The cities had met with the borough and the school all the way up until that night. But the way the process works, there's an ordinance on the table. So really our only input is, do you like it or not?
Right.
There was not city input into the crafting of that. So, which made it look like the cities were against the borough and against the sales tax. And that's the way it was, because that's the only input we have is on what's on the table.
Sure.
In our minds, it was not crafted well. And that's why we were against it. We're not against supporting the schools. And we're not against the borough trying to generate new revenue. But let's do it where it doesn't put a lot of businesses at risk, a lot of city revenue at risk. Let's do it where holistically it's good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes new taxes. That came out loud and clear. And the voters should decide on the ultimate yes or no for sales tax, but our position was always from the beginning, let's get something that's going to work for everyone, to the voters, and then let them decide whether it's going to happen or not.
I know that the city of Wasilla has a tax initiative to pay for certain things there, new police building, perhaps.
New public safety building, yes.
Public safety building, and then up in Talkeetna, people up in the Talkeetna area and a certain limited part of Talkeetna will be asked to vote on taxing for upgrade to a sewer system.
Yes.
And so those things could presumably in October then go by. The city of Palmer has had its own tax regimen now for a long time at a certain rate.
Yes.
Have there been any hints of changing that?
No.
that was a quick answer.
I've been, and I don't see a need for it either. I mean, when we're getting ready to get on the budget season, and I don't see a need to increase our revenue. We live within our budget. We have a good reserve. And I wouldn't say I've been told in no uncertain terms, live within a budget, but it's very clear from the council that there's no indication that they feel a need to raise taxes. We're providing services that are adequate for the city. And again, we've got a good, healthy reserve, and we haven't spent a lot of money on what some people call frivolous things.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in good shape. The cost of living goes up, so the budget does have to increase to some degree. And we've done in the past is looked, okay, what priority items do we have to do, and what things are we doing that are nice that maybe the folks don't think we need to do. So if we cut out something that, and it hasn't happened to my knowledge that we've cut anything that's been missed greatly. Every now and then, why doesn't the city do this anymore? Well, it's because it's not cost effective and is not in our priority. So at this point, no, the city's in good state. 10 years from now, our roads, we're going to do something on our roads. So we need to start socking away money for that. We still have roads that are unpaved. We've got trails that the community would like to have done. Those things cost money. At some point in time, maybe. Again, it depends on what the priorities are from the council and from the citizens, what they want Palmer to look like. So,
And one of the large, and I'm not quite sure I remember exactly how large, impacts on the income stream for the city is, of course, the Alaska State Fair. Very short
yes.
time of 12 days, being that it's in the city limits and sales tax is collected, that is an interesting shot in the arm, if I can put it that way.
Oh, it is, and we count on it. We project what each year, just like our sales tax from our brick-and-mortar businesses, there's a projection that's based on history and the muddy crystal ball and what the economy is going to look like. So we going into 2017, we projected an increase. We went from 6.4 million projected revenue to 7 million for this year, and so far we're on track. Actually, after 6 months, we're about $30,000 ahead.
Oh, okay.
So in the grand scheme, $30,000 isn't much, but what that tells me is that our projection is holding. The economy is doing okay in Palmer, and we should be good through the rest of the year. That could take a turn.
And the new Fred Meyer store presumably has a larger sales volume.
Oh, yeah. And that was part of our projection. And we were conservative because they weren't going to open until March. So that was one quarter's worth of normal sales tax. So for us, it was, okay, what do we think that's going to do? Square footage, they're going to double. We don't think, in our mind, that sales tax will double, but it will increase to some degree. So
Okay. Next
year we'll have 9 months worth of big Fred Meyers to consider and maybe add another quarter. And if we think the economy is going to remain the same, then maybe we won't project an increase in revenues. We're going through that machination now.
Well, we're coming off my experience was a very successful Palmer Pride event that happened.
It was a great event.
Yes. It was just fun. And I think that's what's nice about it. It was a place where people could come and have fun, and it wasn't heavy in terms of structure, but there was structure.
A little bit.
Yeah. And then the next big event happening, and it comes a few weeks because the State Fair is going to begin in 3 weeks from Thursday, is the State Fair Parade, which is kind of an interesting thing because it draws a lot of people into town as well. It's the largest shadow that the fair casts over the city in terms of events, because there's all that happening south, but then there's the parade here that happens. So people tend to look forward to that.
Now, it's a great event, and it does help showcase Palmer. It's, you know, we are here. We're a community that has things that can entertain you in addition to the state fair. That we have restaurants. And the other piece is also the folks that come from out of state to the fair, the attractions that are there. Mm-hmm. That gives them an opportunity. I don't want to say it forces them to come to Palmer because of the parade and they're in the parade, but we've had comments, but you know, I would have probably not gotten into the city had it not been for the parade, and you have a wonderful little city, and I look forward to coming back next year or after our stuff closes the fair, coming into town and having a drink and a quick meal. So
sure.
It works both ways. Okay. It's a great event, and it's still on track for Saturday.
All right. So I've asked a few questions. Any last comments you'd like to make before we finish?
No, I think we've covered anything that I thought if you didn't, I was going to bring up again. It's Friday Flings, we didn't talk about that. It's coming to an end for the summer.
Oh, that's right.
They're out setting up right now for today, and I think next week is the last Friday. So for those that haven't gotten out there this summer, you got a couple more weekends, a couple more Fridays to get out there and enjoy the downtown area and the vendors that we have that come in, and then the rest of the downtown is here.
Okay.
Walking around.
Well, Mike Malevsky here. I've been talking with Nate Wallace, who's the Palmer City Manager, and we've been taking a look at things that are happening, big things happening in the city of Palmer. Thank you, Nate, for coming in today.
Thank you.